This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Build Ford Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We are giving away Game 4 World Series tickets at the stadium in the 8 a.m. hour. But the clue will come this hour. And the clue will be a John Sterling drop that you need to file away. And then you'll hear that again in the 8 a.m. hour. And then when you hear it in the 8 a.m. hour, then you will call our contest line. So I'll give you further instructions on that a little bit later in the show, a little bit later this hour in the show. But Game 4 World Series tickets we will be giving away this morning in the 8 a.m. hour. All right, Yankees come back home, down 2-0, and really, Game 1 was just a travesty. I mean, that's the one. I know we're going all the way back to Friday night, and people have basically, you know, talked about this and talked it out and everything else. That would have been a fun show to do the next day to go through all of that. But that, I mean, that to me is as bad as it gets from a Aaron Boone effect on a game. Now, we talk so much about, you know, the analytics and is he really making the decisions? And you got all the geeks there. And is it Brian Cashman? Is it that? Is it this? I was shocked for a couple of reasons. One, to go out and get Gerrit Cole and for Gerrit Cole to not have any sort of problem with that blew my mind. Like, there's a few guys in baseball that are like, hell effing no. Even Edwin Diaz, for God's sakes, told Carlos Mendoza, no. And Gerrit Cole, to me, in the way that he was pitching and the way that he was cruising, and it's him and all the money and everything else, for him to just be like, 80-something pitches and be like, okay. And then just, like, be done. I mean, did he hit a wall like Manaea hit a wall? Like, what is going on with that? That's what I need to know. And then also, you know, what is it with managers and analytics guys that don't factor in the fact that a guy hasn't pitched in forever? Like, he's a human being. He's not just a plug-and-play numbers guy in a book, on a computer. Kodai Senga should have never gotten the opportunity that he got with the Mets, and Nestor Cortez should have never been in that situation. And I know Aaron Boone says, oh, I look great in his bullpen session. It's not a goddamn bullpen session, man. You're throwing him into an extra inning game in the World Series. It just was bizarre. So then they come back. Obviously, they lose game two as well. Aaron Judge can't hit, and it just feels like they are completely up against it. But that game one, they should have been up one game to none. What happened in game two shouldn't have mattered as much. They would have gotten a split. But instead, you know, essentially their backs are up against the wall already.
I'm just going to say this. You and I were here on Friday. We did not know the full-on rosters, but we expected Nestor Cortez to be a part of it. And I said to you, and I looked you directly in the eye, I said, I would not trust this guy in a big spot. If you're going to use him for mop-up duty, or if you're going to use him in extra innings because you don't have anybody else left and he has to go out there and pitch, I would understand that. So this comes down to a decision of, I know he's in the lineup because of Ohtani and because of Freddie Freeman, lefty on lefty, this whole analytics thing. When was the last time Nestor Cortez pitched in the ninth inning with two men on and superstars coming up the bat? Can you tell me?
In the World Series on the road. Let's add that to it as well.
Right. So Aaron Boone put him in an impossible situation. this is really not about Nestor Cortez as it is about the decision to put Nestor out on the field in a situation where he has not dealt with that. He is a starting pitcher. The most he's ever gone this year was 7 innings, so he's never faced the bottom of the ninth situation where the game is on the line and he's got to make pitches, especially to two of the better hitters in baseball today. And the fact that you had Tim Hill warming up at the same time, who has been very trustworthy throughout this whole process, and you go out there and you bring in Nestor Cortez, and you put him in a situation that he's never been in. So I'm all over Aaron Boone about this one. I said I could not believe that at this moment that they brought him in, because he has never felt this moment as a New York Yankee pitcher. You know, I went back and I looked at all his numbers. You know, he pitched into the seventh inning a couple times during the regular season. Hasn't pitched in 5 weeks or 6 weeks, whatever it is. And you're going to pluck him out of the bullpen and you're going to put him in the biggest moment of the Yankee season, where you have a one-run lead, which is remarkable to me. Now, to go back to your other thing about Gerrit Cole, yeah, I think Gerrit just says, like, you know, good, I'm out of here now because I did my job.
But does he strike you as a guy like that, though?
No, I'm not saying he does. I just felt like when without – and by the way, it's both managers in this freaking World Series, because why would you take Yamamoto out of the game?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
like, Dave Roberts is on the front step. He just couldn't wait. You know, if there's one hit late in the game, these managers are, like, immediately out there because they're going through the third time in the order. I'm like, I don't know. I come from a completely different generation.
No, of course, and we talked about it, you know, throughout for the last number of years, and that's who the Dodgers are. We know that's who they are. We saw them against the Mets, but I mean, and Yamamoto's, I don't know, Gerrit, there's just something different about Gerrit Cole. That's why I made the point of, like, there's a handful of pitchers in baseball these guys come out, they don't care, they get pulled after X amount of innings. Gerrit Cole's one of those guys. It's like, F no, man.
He threw 98 miles an hour his last pitch.
I grew up a Yankee fan. I'm here on the mound. I'm throwing my ass off. I'm pitching my ass off. I feel great. I'm not coming out of this game right now.
By the way, this is the guy that was pissed off that he didn't get into Game 7 for the Astros.
100%.
Right. So I'm with you right there. I don't know why he didn't put up more of a stink. And I think what happens sometimes is that these starting pitchers are on the mound, especially for these respective teams. And now that we're playing in the playoffs in the World Series, the managerial decisions really come into focus. And I'm sure the moment that they see that manager come out of the dugout that they're pissed. How could you not be? Unless you're satisfied with your performance, thinking, you know, I did my job, so let me get off the field before it all implodes. And I think part of what's going on is that those managers do have in their gut, like, you know, if they get a guy on, then I'm going to pull him. And I feel like that's what's happened. Now, let me ask you this question about Juan Soto out in right field, because it's been Adventureland out in right field on these first two games. I know he's a great hitter. I'm not going to take anything away from him in that regard. But why is it every time the ball is misplayed by him in the outfield, or if he actually does make a play, that the guy that hits the ball ends up on third base? When, by the way, he hit the same type of ball off the wall, and where did he end up?
Yeah, not third base.
Not third base, not even second base.
Right, exact first base.
I mean, you know why? Because he thought he hit a home run and he's admiring it out of the box as opposed to gassing it out of the box and getting to second base.
No, you're right.
And that bothered me. The other thing that bothers me, too, is these late inning replacements, because you never know what's going to happen in these games where you might need a bat back in that lineup after you've taken them out, and that's the Gleyber Torres thing.
Yeah, the Mets did that for the last couple of months as well, though, with the delaying defensive replacements. And yeah, I mean, you're sort of putting yourself in a spot where you could get a guy up in a situation you don't want there. But I the way that the Yankees, you know, play, they're fundamentally not a great baseball team.
You think?
Like, so if I can put anybody out there that gives them a better chance, and that when they have a lead late in the game of making a defensive play, I will do it, and I won't consider the offense so much. The offense for me is, like, those guys that are in there that are late inning defensive replacements are not the guys that should be, you have to worry about hitting. The guy you need to worry about hitting is Aaron Judge, who now again is adding to this story of not being able to hit. And this is back to back games in a World Series. And you don't, You don't want to say that he's not capable of it. We know that he is. But there's been a few guys that have come around, you know, early on in his career, Barry Bonds, miserable in the postseason. A-Rod, for those first few times, miserable in the postseason until he broke out in 09 in the Minnesota series, that whole thing. You know, but, I mean, I can't, for the life of me, figure it out, because outwardly he still seems so calm and still in control, but I just think he is a miserable pressure performer. He can't, he just doesn't have whatever that is in the biggest moments. He puts too much pressure on himself. He's different. He doesn't have that same, like, just dominance over the people that, like, he just dominates in the regular season. It's just, it's people swat, like, he just swats away these pitches like nothing. Like, you should be embarrassed to throw me that.
You know what? The amazing thing to me is that they're pitching him perfectly. It's curveball, swinging over, high fastball.
And they're not afraid of him.
No, but they're pitching him perfectly.
Yeah, right.
And I have to say that you can see that he is pressing. Now he's got 6 strikeouts in 2 games. He's come up in big spots and has been unable to deliver. But I also would say that about the bottom of the lineup, too. The way they got this whole thing constructed, I think it's too easy for Roberts to go out and get a lefty when he needs a lefty against the bottom of the lineup. And really, a couple of at-bats that were just horrific. The Volpe at-bat where John Smoltz says, here is his Derek Jeter moment.
Right.
That at-bat right there, that was horrendous. So you got Verdugo and Volpe both mired in slumps along with Aaron Judge. And then you also have the decision-making by the manager here in these last 2 games that has been and hasn't turned out for him. And, you know, it's easy for us to discuss these things after the game. I heard Michael Kay and all those guys just blistering Aaron Boone. Hell, Derek Jeter blistered Aaron Boone.
But that was all a first guess.
No, that's what I'm saying. All of those guys first guessed it because they were sitting with other people and said, why is he bringing in Nestor Cortez, or why is he taking out, Gerrit Cole, the $36 million man that's supposed to be winning these games for you? And instead, he exhausted his bullpen, and he went to everybody and was playing the managerial game like they're playing Stratomatic or something, and they end up losing the games. But I would say, number one, Aaron Judge is the number one victim in terms of what's going on with him offensively. Number two, the bottom of the lineup is completely too left-handed heavy, and it makes it too easy for Roberts to go to his guys in the bullpen when he needs to. Number three, I would say that, Juan Soto is a disaster out in right field. How he is a Gold Glove candidate is beyond me.
The more
I watch him now and you see him in the playoffs here and everything else, I mean, it is like, it's a clown show out in right field.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's normally that much of a circus. He's got a great arm. We know that. So far, it's been ugly.
He has misplayed a number of plays in the playoffs here.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, like, I know he's a great hitter, but am I paying $600 million for this?
Yes.
Just because he can hit.
Well, no, he's not normally that bad out there. He's not going to cost you a ton of games generally. I can't defend his play right now, but he's not a complete sieve or a zero as a defender for most of his career. But yeah, I mean, someone's going to do it. It might actually be the Dodgers. The Dodgers might do it. Because the Dodgers, reading that they're actually, one of the reasons why they, and I know that Otani with the tax and this and that, but they also, the Dodgers themselves are like, the reason we're pushing this is because we also want to have a shot at Juan Soto next year for that deferments for Otani. It's just whatever. But we'll spend an entire offseason talking about that. But you've got Walker Buehler and Clark Schmidt tonight. The Yankees, if you care or are wondering, are a favorite tonight to win the game.
Actually, they've been in these games. Carlos Rodon was horrendous.
Yeah.
That's the other one. That's the other thing. So you exhaust your bullpen. You got your starter, your AC, your staff controlling the opposing team, and you take him out, and you end up losing in the bottom of the ninth inning. And then on top of all of that, your second guy, who has to give you some sort of length going to the sixth inning or something, can't do it.
Nope.
And he's throwing up gopher balls.
Yeah.
I mean, so you've had a number, like, I would say that Gerrit Cole did his job, but he didn't fight Aaron Boone, and he walked off the field, and he probably felt like, I had a good outing. I did exactly what I was supposed to do. Aaron Judge has not done his job offensively. Juan Soto's been an issue out in right field. Volpe and Verdugo are not doing their jobs offensively. So there are, believe me, there are a number of culprits here, but everybody's going to zero in on the presumptive MVP of the AL, and that's going to be Aaron Judge. And the other aspect of all of this is how effective is Shohei Ohtani now going to be?
Right.
After trying to steal, like, to me, selfishly, a base that he had no business even trying to steal.
Yeah.
You're up 4-1. Why are you trying to steal a base?
Right. So I don't think you're going to get the full story on how hurt he is. He's going to play. Obviously, you know, the dislocated shoulder, and then it pops back in. It's not going to be, I mean, he's going to play, and how effective he's going to be will be a huge part of the rest of this series for the Dodgers.
Man, but watching him walk off, man.
Yeah.
That's a subluxation. And that, to pop it back in, in order for it to get healthy, is to do nothing, literally, for the next, at least the next 2 weeks. You do nothing with it.
Yeah, well.
Now, Dave Roberts says it's because it's his back shoulder. He's, you know, obviously not playing the field, that, you know, it shouldn't bother him. And I'm like, yeah, it shouldn't bother him unless they shoot him up.
They're going to shoot him up. They're going to shoot him up. And the Dodgers are going to go with the bullpen game in game four.
Yes.
So, I mean, there's your path. You know, we like to talk about paths.
Pass the path. Victory, yes. The Jets had a path.
Yeah, and they blew it up. But the Yankees have a path to getting this series tied up at two games apiece. But obviously it all starts tonight with a good performance by Clark Schmidt, and hopefully the offense just beats up Walker Buehler. That's really what tonight's going to be about. It has to be the offense back at home beating that guy up. Getting to the bullpen, big home runs, crowd getting into it. That's what this is about.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, we're giving away Yankees, Dodgers, World Series Game 4 tickets at the stadium in the 8 a.m. hour. But you got to be listening right now for this John Sterling drop. You listen to it, you file it away. When you hear it next hour, that's when you call our contest line, 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. To be caller number 7 and win. So, for this hour, and do not call now, this is not the time to call. You call next hour when you hear this, but this is when you first hear it and you file it away. The John Sterling drop for the tickets is
Greg Giannotta.
Greg Giannotta.
Greg Giannotta.
Greg Giannotta. Thank you, John. Appreciate that. Greg Giannotta.
Greg Giannotta
is the thing you will hear next hour.
And when you hear that, that's when you call 866-540-WFAN, 866-540-9326. Be caller number 7. You win game 4 tickets to the World Series, hopefully, which will be a 2-1 advantage for the Dodgers and not a 3-0 advantage for the Dodgers. All right, CeeLo, what's going on, man?
Brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. Also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Well, the Jets are not beating anybody for 5 weeks now.
We're set under center. Here we go. Stevenson on the take. Stevenson is in for the touchdown.
Spiro Dedis on CBS. The go-ahead score, they do, with 22 seconds left, plus the two-point conversion. The Pats end up stunning the Jets in Foxborough yesterday, 25-22. They had that big third-down conversion from Brissett to Booty on the drive. Sauce Gardner turned around on that play, initially had this to say about it.
Obviously, I'm still stuck on that play because it's like, I just know, like, that's a play that can be made. You know, that's on me. Maybe I got to be better, especially when it comes to...
And he kind of trails off there, so it seemed like he was taking accountability at first, but then as he paused there, he eventually said this.
Knowing our fire zone coverages or something like that, because I didn't know he had an issue where he got to lead a post to take an over route, to help somebody with an over route. So maybe, hey, maybe I got to be better when it comes to... on the coverages or something like that.
Kind of seemed like he was passing off the responsibility.
Yeah, but wait a minute, time out. No, he just said something really interesting there. I need to understand our coverages better there at the end.
Right. So
we're in week 8 of the NFL season.
Well, that's where I think it's his way of essentially saying without saying that wasn't
man,
my responsibility.
Shiv everybody in the back.
I could be misinterpreting, but initially it was like, you know, I'm thinking about that play should have been made. And then there was a lot of maybe I need to, maybe at the coverages. It just seemed like he was passing it off there a little bit. We obviously don't know what the call was, but that was interesting to me because that was a big play, obviously, on that drive that ultimately led to the Patriots winning the game. So you do have Jeff Ulbrich still calling the coverages for now on top of the head coaching duties. He did say he would look into whether or not he's going to continue doing that. His team, though, has now dropped 5 in a row.
No,
we're at a loss right now. Just kind of what's going on with this team?
I'm pissed. They're pissed. I'm hurt. They're hurt. We are not executing in critical moments.
Yeah, that much is clear. And he caught himself on the F-bomb there.
Kinda. Yeah, you know, it's actually in all phases, too. It's not just defense. It's special teams. It's kicking, obviously. It's offense. Can't, you know, convert 2-point play. Then the Patriots turn around, run a 2-point play, and it's got wide open.
Yep, absolutely. Here's the Breece Hall clip I mentioned last hour. Not sure if he was just speaking in general and looking in the mirror, but seemed to take this one especially hard.
No, I think I got to do a better job of just helping out the offense. So, personally, I put this one on me. So, it just sucks. You know, I think I'm my biggest critic. So, you know, it just doesn't feel good to feel like you're the reason we lost the game.
Did you see the roughing the passer against the Jets on Jacoby Brissett yesterday?
Yeah.
That was brutal. I mean, like, you have Sam Darnold's head almost ripped off in a Monday night game against the Thursday night game against the Rams, and no call. And yesterday, this phantom call against Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, and that was almost as bad as the one against Aaron Rodgers that he actually said after the game wasn't the penalty.
Which Yeah,
2 weeks ago. I'd never heard that before. I'd never seen a guy stand up there and be like, you know what, that call on you know, that helped us out for 15 yards was a terrible call. But that's what these judgment calls and these roughing the passers are.
Holmes got another one yesterday, too.
I didn't see that one.
He kind of bumped into him, and he went down pretty hard and sold it. So he's good at that. We know that's part of his arsenal. Seen it before. Anyway, 2-6 are the Jets. Short week. Thursday night home game against the Texans, who held on to beat the Colts yesterday 23-20. Houston is 6-2. I got to check on this Steph Diggs injury, non-contact knee. He was going for further examination. How about Anthony Richardson in this one? 10 of 32 for 175 yards, touchdown and an interception, and also one very curious play on the sideline where he took himself out of the game after back-to-back scrambles.
Yeah, he tapped his helmet like he was a running back or a wide receiver. I'm like, I've never seen a quarterback ever in my life do this.
Correct.
Now, Tiki was doing this game, and I was texting Tiki during the game. I'm like, Tiki, they got to get this guy off the field. And, we were texting back and forth. It was pretty funny. But I was like, why the hell are the Colts, at the end of the first half, throwing the ball with a guy who can't seem to read a defense and almost threw an interception on the previous play and then turns around and throws another interception on the next play.
That was in his own, deep in his own end, right?
Right. And the other thing I didn't understand is like why Houston on defense didn't use their timeouts late at the end of the first half. Now, they ended up getting the interception and had enough time to score.
Yes.
But they should have used their timeouts, and they didn't use their timeouts effectively, I didn't think. But this Anthony Richardson, he's a beast of an athlete, but just his quarterback refining and understanding of what you're doing out there is completely lost.
So CBS Sports Network just showed it, him tapping the helmet, he comes to the sideline, he takes a knee. They're in Houston territory facing, it was a third and long. But I think on that drive, it was a second and goal. They were backed up. So he scrambles a couple times, comes to the sideline. So when he goes to the post-game press conference, right out of the gate, they ask him about it.
Can you explain just you subbing out when you hurt, and injured, and tired?
Nah, tired. I ain't gonna lie. That was a lot of running right there, what I did. And I don't think I was gonna be able to go that next place.
Wow.
So I just, this whole thing, I just needed a break right there.
So Flacco comes in, hands off on third and long, and that was it?
Yeah. I had never seen that happen before, right?
I thought he got hurt, actually, on the play that he ran and took himself out. I thought maybe he re-injured his knee again.
I think his left hand got banged up earlier in the game.
Yeah.
But not a great look, especially when you're struggling with your pass game the way he is as well.
That was a lot of running right there. I was tired. I ain't going to lie.
Doesn't sound great. But I guess you appreciate the honesty, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Could have lied about it.
He gave it to us the way he gave it to us, so you got to give him that respect.
Yeah. Last night in Santa Clara, big one between the 49ers and the Cowboys. Both teams right around the 500 mark, and this one ended up coming right down to the end.
Here's the game. Maybe the season for each team. Dak in the gun, three left. Ferguson the tight end right. CD4 are left, including CD. Dak chased out of there by Leonard Floyd. Throws down the right sideline. Incomplete. The Niners take over on downs.
Niners radio as they held off the Cowboys 30-34. Post game on Compass Media right there, Jerry. Very good. Evening their record at 4-4 did San Francisco. Dallas is 3-4. Niners led by 17 near the end of the third quarter. So the Cowboys make a bit of a comeback, give themselves a shot, but that was fourth and long there. George Kittle, 6 catches, 128 yards and a score. CD Lamb in the loss at 13 for 146 and 2 touchdowns, but another loss for Dallas. And they're showing the graphic here. Dak Prescott career against the 49ers. 0-4, 5 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, so he has not quite solved San Francisco just yet. I promise I will have the audio prepared of Trayvon Diggs for next hour, getting into it with the TV reporter and telling him something very specific as he walked back into the locker room. So we'll get to that next hour coming up. We played you the Commanders radio call from the Hail Mary yesterday as Washington pulls one out of nowhere pretty much after the Bears had gone ahead. Jaden Daniels to Noah Brown. Was it 52-yard Hail Mary, I believe.
Yeah, that's what it went down. Final yardage. He threw the ball about 65 yards.
Yes. He threw it great, but it still was short until this Tyreek Stevenson comes in and tips it backwards.
He extended the play 12 seconds.
Yeah.
Jaden Daniels did. Yep.
I mean, Nance on TV kind of ran out of things to say waiting for him to throw that ball. So, but an incredible ending there in Landover as Washington gets to 6-2. Caleb Williams was pretty annoyed on the sideline as that play went down. Also, you had the Browns at home with, we'll call it a surprising victory over the Ravens, 29-24. Jameis Winston steps in for Deshaun Watson, had himself a good game. Cleveland gets the win. Winston with Amanda Balionis. Is it still Balionis?
It's back to Balionis.
That's what it was, right? Yes. Renner, now back to Balionis. So here's Jameis with her after the game for CBS on the field talking the victory, and as Jameis often does, a very interesting answer.
Man, it's a white boy from Detroit that I really admire named Eminem. He said, "You only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity lasts once in a lifetime." And I know I got a quote, Eminem, he from Detroit, he right up the road, but... Man, I'm just grateful. I'm grateful that the Lord provided me with this opportunity. I'm grateful for my teammates, my coaches, and these amazing fans.
Just never know what you're going to get with that guy, man. He is.
There's this white boy in Detroit.
Thank God, all the glory, yeah. Though, man. Oh, man.
Wouldn't it be funny? He's like, there's this white boy up in New York. His name Boomer Esiason. He said, pressure is a privilege. Say one game, one snap, one quarter at a time. I really respect it. I don't know I'm quoting this white boy, but I'm quoting him.
Speaking of pressure as a privilege, you saw Billie Jean King out there at Dodger Stadium hugging it up with Dave Roberts after the game?
No, oh, I thought that was Mike.
I don't know where we go from here now. Mike was pretty fired up about the Jets after the game yesterday. I'll give you some of that next hour.
Yeah.
We can get into that. Oh, boy. A lot going on. Giants Steelers tonight in Pittsburgh. If you're not watching Yankees Dodgers World Series Game 3, 6:15 coverage on 11:30 a.m. See if Russell Wilson can go back-to-back and sweep the New York teams in consecutive primetime games. We will have the Dodgers and the Yankees here back in the Bronx. It's game number 3, Clark Schmidt, Walker Buehler, 7:25 coverage here on The Fan. Did you know this about Clark Schmidt's dad, that he's a pilot, former Marine? He flew the Yankee charter to L.A. It's kind of cool, right?
No, I had no idea.
Yeah.
That is an interesting tidbit.
I saw the clip of him talking about, I guess he spoke before game 2.
No sports. Right. I was going to ask CeeLo, though, to explain an analytics situation to me.
Sure, I can do that.
And to everybody else out there, while sometimes analytics don't really tell the true story, because the analytics of Nestor Cortez versus Mookie Betts tells us what?
0-for-5. Mookie Betts against Nestor Cortez.
And what is Freddie Freeman versus Nestor?
Well, it wasn't so much Nestor Cortez, but what they ended up doing by walking Betts with the base open, to be fair, and setting up the force to load the bases there, you bring Freeman to the plate. And this is very specific, but the numbers are eye-popping. Freddie Freeman, the last 2 seasons with the bases loaded against lefty pitchers.
That's how in the weeds we are
lefty,
right now.
Lefty, Freddie Freeman. 9-for-14, 4 grand slams, 25 RBIs, and an OPS north of 2,200.
So somebody wasn't doing their homework.
Apparently not.
And he put that first ball into play, and good night, the lights. Ugh. In game number 1, walk-off grand slam. And as a dad, I enjoyed after, I think it was game 2, he went and sat with Jeter and Ortiz and all those, and A-Rod, and they asked him, so what was it like going home last night after, you know? Yeah, it took a while to get to sleep, calm down. He goes, my kids, though, overtired kids, I had to get them bathed. You know, they couldn't care less that dad hit a walk-off grand slam in a World Series. He had to go home and take care of business as a father.
Well, there you
doesn't
go.
Doesn't matter.
What a man.
They'll be able to watch it on YouTube in 15 years.
Right, right, when they really understand what's going on. Quickly, Nets over the Bucks, 115-102. Cam Thomas at 32 for Brooklyn. You get the Knicks home for the Cavaliers tonight. And on the ice, the Devils beat the Ducks 6-2. Stephen Nason, a couple of goals for New Jersey. At the moment, they're atop the Metro Division standings, so they had the extra games.
Oh, they played more games.
Yes, they have. They have, yes.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on The Fan and CBS Sports Network. I believe Evan and Tiki are from the stadium today. Is that, that's right. Evan and Tiki are going to be doing the show from Yankee Stadium today. So that'll be good for those guys. Just got a note from the brand ambassador. You know, we love promoting our guys.
Yes, and are they doing the extra hour and a half? I guess they are, right?
Boo, boo, bee, ba, 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 boo, bee.
I mean, they did it Friday.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, yeah. Cutting into that Lugau.
Man, I'll tell you, it was amazing. I mean, this weekend you had C-Mac all over the radio station, Brandon Tierney all over the radio station.
Yeah.
I mean, all the Yankee guys.
That's right. Well, actually, they had Sal, too, but he's not a Yankee guy. They had him doing shows. They paying those guys extra, or are they just abusing them?
Yeah, I thought of that, too. I heard C-Mac on, and I heard Brandon on separately, and I was like, they got extra cash for that?
Or? Isn't it in their contract 6 days or something?
No.
Occasional 6 day?
I don't know. That I don't know. But they were there. They were doing it. They were grinding it out.
They were grinding it out.
Good to hear those voices on the weekends talking some Yankee baseball.
Trying to figure it out and explain what the hell happened and how many different decisions Aaron Boone made that basically screwed up game 1.
Yeah. Yeah. C-Mac was hearing it from Yankee fans this morning, man. I was driving in. He's fighting them off. This one guy called up. He's like, yeah, you're wrong as usual with everything. You don't know what you're talking about. And C-Mac said, okay, tough guy. Okay, tough guy. Come on, tough guy.
Yeah.
Just like, man, you know, thrown right back into the mix. You know, you go to the World Series, you're thrilled about everything, you're happy. 2 games later, all right, tough guy, shut up. Let's go to Brian in Connecticut. What's going on, Brian?
What's up, Boomer and Geo? How are we doing this morning?
Great, man. What do you got for us?
One thing real quick. You guys going to be at the game tonight?
No. We decided not to take the tickets from Zuck because there's some great clients out there that should be there instead of us.
And by the way,
I was going to invite you guys in for a roll call in the right field.
All right, so you're going. You're going to be. What do you think the atmosphere? The atmosphere a little tense, a little anxious tonight?
I think we're going to bring the noise tonight. We're a lot of pissed off from the other guys I talked to in the bleachers.
All right. Well, you need to bring that. You know what you need to do? You need to do exactly what the Philadelphia Philly fans did for Trey Turner. You got.
We've already started that message through Facebook that we're going to give him a fan standing ovation.
Well, there you go. Yeah, because he's gotten you here, you know, and he's been a great player, and he's been a great.
He's our captain. You got to support him regardless.
100%. I like to hear that, Brian. Good.
And another thing I want to talk about, why did Boone walk Mookie Betts to load the bases where if he doesn't hit a home run, a simple base hit wins the game? You never put the winning run on second base purposely.
Yeah.
In the latter innings.
Yeah, no.
I don't understand that move. This guy has been born and bred in baseball his whole life with his family, and it's like, did you learn anything?
I mean, what he's probably thinking is it's Mookie Betts, you know? And I don't want this guy beating me because he's their second best player. He's one of the best players in baseball. He's also won an MVP before. So,
again, I just go back to number one, they rushed Gerrit Cole out of the pen. Number two, they put Nestor Cortez in a position he's never been in. I mean, it's mind-boggling to me that you would bring a guy in who hasn't pitched in 5 or 6 weeks, put him in the bottom of the 10th inning with a one-run lead and ask him to get you two outs. Now, he got Ohtani out. He did. And that was a great play by Alex Verdugo. Mm-hmm. So while he may be slumping, I mean, that play was a great... That was Jeter-esque, you know, since we're comparing everything to the former captain.
Mm.
But I would say that trying to put him in a situation... Just because he's a lefty and they got lefties up, and they probably knew that if they got Ohtani, they were going to go after Freeman. And I figure Freeman's got a bad ankle.
Yeah.
Nah, you know, no big deal.
No big deal.
And the fact that they had Tim Hill warm me up, who would have been the natural choice for me.
Yeah.
If Nestor Cortez was not activated for the World Series roster, Tim Hill's coming in.
Yeah, and I was making sure of this because I didn't want to say it if I wasn't sure. But the winning run was on second base already. The base runners had moved up when Verdugo, that play where he fell into the stand. So I just wanted to, sometimes, you know, Friday memory, you know, I just wanted to make sure that I had that right. And my man Joey from Yonkers confirmed it as well. All right, let's go to Alex in Pennsylvania. What's up, Alex?
Boomin' Geo, oh yeah.
All right, what's happening, Alex?
Hey, good morning, boys. Listen, I'm a Mets fan living in Philadelphia, man, and I'm loving every minute of this Yankee misery. You know, the Yankee fans, listen, I don't hate the Yankees. I hate their fans for being such douches, you know what I'm saying? So as a diehard Mets fan living in Philadelphia, having to deal with these Philly douches, listen, I get joy out of every minute these Yankee schmucks are choking up in the World Series. Listen, much credit to Carlos Mendoza for taking us where we took us this year. Love you, boys. Take care.
Yeah, well, and by the way, our manager came from those Yankees.
I mean, just be careful. You know, celebrating an early death if you're one of those people is not the right thing to do. Now, I know that Eddie Scazzeri wants to see the Yankees lose. I don't need to see the Yankees lose. It's not one of those things where I'm one of these bitter Met fans anymore. I appreciate my Yankee fan friends in my universe, and the ones that are obnoxious douches I've gotten rid of in my life. I don't have those people around me anymore. I know Eddie is very happy, but you have not. It's YE Day is YE Day for a reason.
Correct. You wait for the stake through the heart. You got to wait for the stake through the heart.
And this coming from a guy who got a stake in his heart yesterday by the Arizona Cardinals.
Yes, I did. And how about the ovation that Tua got for sliding?
Yes.
Yeah, I know. There was a couple times that, well, he slid the first one. I felt like the defender was like, I'm not even going to get near him. Like, that might work to his advantage. I think these guys feel bad for him.
It could, actually.
Yeah.
You know, he's a very likable guy. He's very respected.
I don't want to be the guy who knocks Tua into retirement.
When he took off, I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I know.
Yep.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.